DiscerningHearts.com presents Communion with Christ, Practical Prayer with Deacon James Keating. Deacon Keating is a professor of spiritual theology at Kenrick Lennon Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. He has formerly served as the Director of Theological Formation at the Institute for Priestly Formation. He's the author of numerous books, including Heart of the Diaconate, Remain in Me, Spousal Prayer, and Listening for Truth. He has given more than 400 workshops on moral theology and spirituality, and regularly conducts retreats. Communion with Christ, Practical Prayer, with Deacon James Keating. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. In our previous discussion, I asked the question of knowing how to tell whether or not the words that we hear from another are prophetic. And yet, as you've described it to us, and as the Catechism teaches, ultimately, we are in a conversation with God. So how do we know whether or not the words that we're hearing are authentic?
The biggest sin in the Old Testament was idol worship, apostasy, going to a God that was not real, or a God of our imagination, an impotent God. And I think this sense of going astray is, on the spiritual level, is what is most frightening to the writers of Scripture. Of course, today we don't feel compelled to have any sense of fear of going astray. In fact, we have this whole sense of anyone's religion is a worthy religion, or anyone's idea is a worthy idea just because it's uttered. And if it has any compelling quality to it, then maybe I can dabble in it. There's no sense here of protecting a precious message that has been given to us by God. It's almost as if we feel any message that is somewhat compelling to me is going to preserve my dignity. Whereas I don't think the writers of Scripture had that confidence in this passing age. They were quite afraid of going astray, and their whole fear of being unfaithful really was seen throughout all the writings of the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. Well, we can go and become unfaithful from within too, because not all of our inner experiences are experiences of God. Many people know the writings of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and this was one of his main points, is that we are moved by many spirits from within, both good spirits and bad spirits. We can go astray right within our interiority. Now again, cynics will say that this is too dramatic, because we're bordering here on perhaps conversations about demons and the devil, and bad spirits and good spirits, and truth and falsity, which of course many people don't want to even confront today as a possibility. But our faith still holds that this is a possibility. And so to go in, to be an interior person, is an act or a decision that has to be made with some gravity, because you're a living being, and there are living beings, spirits, that influence us. And there are not impersonal or non-personal spirits, the spirit of the age, for example, that also influence us. In one way, these spirits, personal or impersonal, get in us, and they begin to converse with us as well as the Holy Spirit. And this is why the ancient tradition of needing a spiritual director was seen as so crucial for those who were serious about prayer. Because sometimes to go in is to get entangled in many ideas, many feelings, many memories. And we may need an expert to help us disentangle what is of God and what is not of God. what will lead us astray if we follow it, and what will lead us to the light if we follow that. So to pray is a real act of a living being. And this living being who chooses to act is going to encounter other living beings, be they good, in terms of spirits, angels, the saints, of course, God himself. But these spirits are also going to vie with the impersonal spirits, the spirit of the age, the ideologies that are housed within us, and perhaps demonic influence as well. So it's not simply a going in. It's going in, and then it's discerning or distinguishing what one hears within. And of course, this is why we're supposed to have pastors. Pastors are supposed to help us with this incredible drama of the spiritual life, of growth in love of God, in being able to place and put aside what is unworthy of the human being to pay attention to. The wonderful thing about personal spirits that are bad is that they are basically cowards, and they take flight very quickly at the name of Jesus. So one ought not be afraid to go in, but one ought to be prudent in going in, and not taking every movement of the affect as a movement from God, to test the spirits as Scripture tells us to test our ideas, to test our feelings, and to perhaps even test those feelings with your husband or your wife, to communicate about your own interiority, your own prayer, with your spouse or a spiritual friend or a spiritual director. Once we are people who respond to being desired by God, we will love prayer. No doubt we will fall in love with prayer. We will want to do what David wanted to do. He wanted to build a temple. We will want to build a temple. We will want to stay with God. Now, of course, we know from our faith that we are the temple now. The Holy Spirit now lives in us. We don't have to build a temple. We just have to turn within. We have to turn ever so slightly within, and the Holy Spirit is waiting there to abide with us. So when we begin to pray, we will desire to pray even more. But of course, we will run into all this other clutter that has built up within our mind and our soul over the years. Perhaps unkind spirits that we have invited in through our sins. They are also housed in us. And until they are purified through penance, the Mass, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, until we reject them explicitly, these spirits will continue to influence us. Because we weren't inert over all those years of not praying. We were that living being, but we were a living being who let things less than God affect us. Now we've turned to God because we have realized that God has turned to us, and we are in awe over the fact that we are desired. And now we begin to be serious about this prayer. And we want to stay with God. We want to build a temple like David. We want to live with God. Because we see now what God wants. God has always wanted to live with us. And so there may be a bit of a battle that you have to enter, a struggle, to relinquish what has influenced your mind in the past, so that only God now, only the Spirit of the living God, can commune with your mind in the present.
Isn't that why Jesus is such the model of prayer for us? When we even look at 2599 in the Catechism, it talks about he learns the formulas of prayer from his mother, who kept in her heart and meditated upon the great things done by the Almighty. And he learns to pray in the words and rhythms of the prayer of his people in the synagogues of Nazareth and in the temple at Jerusalem. but his prayer springs from otherwise secret source as he imitates at the age of 12, I must be in my Father's house.
You know, those words from Scripture, and as they're concentrated there in the Catechism, are almost too rich and too full for words. There you have the Son of God with Mary, and all that Mary learned by saying her yes. Note again, God initiated the love. God desired Mary. Mary being the church, Mary being humankind. God sought her out. What did she learn from that? She said yes. What did she learn from God? She learned that God was love and pure love. And she learned that she was the object of his love. That alone is the content of prayer until we die. There is enough content of prayer there for us to contemplate and meditate upon until we die. That I am loved by God. And then they bring in the communal aspect again. That we learn most about God's love for us in the community. In the response of our fellow believers, who have also been deeply affected by the love of God. And we see them witnessing to this. They keep coming to church. They keep turning to prayer. They keep struggling to do the good, to do the ethical, in light of their faith. We see our community giving witness to the fact that God draws near. And in drawing near, he raises his people up to the dignity that they possess. You are my beloved. You are my beloved. And of course, his beloved son, in this beautiful phrase of the Catechism, has his prayer spring from a secret source. Jesus wants to share that secret source with us. That is not a secret source of exclusivity. It doesn't mean that we become divine. It doesn't mean that we become the Savior. Jesus is always Jesus, uniquely. But in God's great generosity, he wants to share the secret source of Jesus' prayer with us. And the secret source of Jesus' prayer is Jesus' communion with the Father. We can draw from that because Jesus lives within us. I must be in my Father's house. My Father's house is the human race. My Father willed the human race. My Father willed to save the human race. Now my Father, in the Son and through the Spirit, wills to live in the human race. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God takes up residence within us. I must be in my Father's house. Jesus longed to be with God. It's a foretaste of heaven. All prayer is a foretaste of heaven. It is sharing in the secret source of Jesus' own prayer. Abba, Father. And Jesus, living and breathing within us by way of his Spirit, he prays within us now. He prays his own prayers within us. When we pray, sometimes perhaps we ought to say, Jesus, speak to your Father in me. Acknowledging that we pray in Jesus' prayer. And then await for this prayer to grow in you. And as this prayer grows in you, you will desire it evermore. Jesus, speak to your Father in me. Let me be your secret source of prayer. Let me be your house. Let me be the place that you long to be forever, communing with your Father. Jesus, live in me. Help me to make my body, my life, worthy of you to come and live in it and speak forever in it to your Father. In the power of your Spirit. And then take me home. Take me to where you live too. This is the end of all of our prayer. I want to live what Jesus lives. So Mary taught Jesus how to go in. She taught Jesus how to respond in joy to being loved by the Father. Jesus then desired, from the very bottom of his heart, to live always in the presence of the Father and to draw from this secret source of his, which was the Father's love for him, to draw from this secret source all of his energy and power to stay in prayer. I never want to leave you. As the priest says in Mass, secretly and privately over the altar, never let me be separated from you. Never let me be separated from you. That's Jesus' prayer. That's our prayer in his spirit.
We'll return in just a moment to Communion with Christ, Practical Prayer, with Deacon James Keating. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Communion with Christ, Practical Prayer, with Deacon James Keating. The Gospel according to St. Luke emphasizes the action of the Holy Spirit and the meaning of prayer in Christ's ministry. The Holy Spirit is a part of this relationship too, isn't it?
The Spirit that lives within us is the love between the Father and the Son. So again, the whole Trinity is present in us, moving us to have communion with the Trinity. The love between the Father and the Son inhabits our very bodies. This is why it's so important for us to consult with this Spirit before we make any major decisions, before we make any major changes. Remember, we are His. Since baptism, we are not our own. We consent to have God send us on mission since our baptism. Do not renege on that. Once we renege on that, that's when all of our life's happiness is drained out of us. Any decision, any change, particularly when we're discerning vocation as a young person, we don't just want to choose a career, a lifestyle. We want to be sent by the Spirit, so that we will be putting fewer obstacles in God's way, so that God can use us throughout our life. All the major decisions of our life, and as we grow in holiness, we will also notice the more minor decisions as well, will be brought to the Lord before they are made. We will become so at home, we will become so familiar with our own interiority, that speaking to God will be like breathing. Whereas in the beginning it can seem forced. I have to set aside or make my prayer time. As we grow in this communion with God, we will feel bad when we don't pray. And that will astound us. Because weeks or months or maybe years before then, we had never even given prayer a thought. But once we fan the spark into a flame, once we ask the Holy Spirit to gift us with the desire for prayer, and once we respond, our life will seem very blank indeed if we do not pray. It's an astounding transformation. From people who have gone their day from the time they arose to the time they went to sleep, thinking that they made all the decisions and thinking that all their choices were simply about them and for them and by them, to a person that longs to consult on decisions to be made, to consult God who lives within, to become a praying person is our joy. It's what Jesus wants to give us. He wants to give us this freedom to consult the Spirit, so that we can more and more have confidence in our decisions, confidence in our vocation, confidence in our very identity, confidence in our very public role that we might play in life. All of this confidence flows from the fact that we consult the indwelling Holy Spirit. Let Jesus teach you how to do that. Before each decision, go into the silence of your heart and ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for His mind on this decision. Lord, what do You want me to do? Lord, what decision will enable a deeper intimacy between Yourself and me? Lord, what decision will keep me more faithful, therefore more happy, to my vocation? What decision will keep me faithful to my vocation? Oh Jesus, help me to know my vocation if I don't. Give me insight into the direct call that You have given me, so that I might measure all my decisions against Your vocation, the gift that You have given me, marriage, priesthood, religious life, consecrated life, single life. Give me my vocation. And then let me pray out of that. Let me pray all of my decisions out of a desire to be faithful to the great gift that you have given me in my own vocation. So we become very, very comfortable with going in, communing, communicating, consulting with this Spirit. Remember, we have to deepen our belief that the Spirit is other than us. The Spirit is a different person than us. The Spirit is real. The Spirit is not an extension of the self. The Spirit is another self, another being, the other being. If we believe that, then we will want to learn how to listen to the Spirit speak to us from within.
Thank you, Deacon Keating, for your time today. I wish we had more time to reflect on it at this moment, but the good news is we will gather once again to reflect on the teachings of the Church and the Catechism of the Church on Christian prayer. Any final thoughts?
Just have the courage to begin your prayer life today. And if you've been praying for a long time, the courage to begin again today.
Amen. Would you like to close with a prayer and blessing?
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit who dwells within us. May your blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon all of us and give us the strength we need to love you and to follow you. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Communion with Christ, Practical Prayer, with Deacon James Keating. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Communion with Christ, Practical Prayer with Deacon James Keating.